Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all...
Oh, Philip Morris!
From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Kurt Shelton, Jack Albertson, Mary Schiff, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, Johnny Gibson, Frank Milano, our singing star Dick Quarney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallagher. Ladies and gentlemen.
Great ad-libbing.
last week, elections were held all over the country.
That's right.
Hundreds of candidates fought to win seats. We now bring you a comedian who has spent months exercising, trying to lose his. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, I'm shocked.
I really am.
Calling me fat. I'm flabbergasted. I'm positively flabbergasted.
You're flabbergasted?
Yes, you guessed it. I'm pretty flabber. Flabbergasted? Oh, Berle, how can one man have so much talent and not a shred of personality? Wait till I catch the guy who sold me that joke. I'll tear off his apron and hit him over the head with the chicken he's cleaning. Mr. Gallup, let us not... It's good we got the band tonight. Let us not... We got them tonight, but not after December 30th. Mr. Gallup, let us not give the listeners... the wrong impression of me. I heard what you said about, the comedian spent months exercising.
Yes.
Mr. Gallup, a good description of me is to say that I'm a little hippie.
A better description, I think, is to say you're a big hippo. A big hippo. Oh, Gallup, how can you be so funny and still be such an utter square?
Schmo is the word. Mr. Gallup, please, would you do me a favor and save that boffo material for when we're back on sustaining? Which may be any minute now. Johnny, have you heard anything? Never mind. What were we talking about?
It was something devastatingly dull.
You. Oh, yes, me, yes. It was my weight, Mr. Gallup. Really, Mr. Gallup, I have been trying to keep my weight down.
But why must you keep it all down in the same place? Oh, my word, that was a jolly one.
That was jazzy, wasn't it?
I topped you again, didn't I, Berle?
Yes, you topped me?
Yes.
Milton Berle, you want fat jokes? Oh, fat jokes. Let's see. File F. Okay. Are you listening? Are you ready? Stand back. Here he comes. All the fat jokes. My girl is so fat, she has to put starch in her cold cream to keep her face from slipping down into her lap. Boing. Another one. She's so fat, store detectives are always searching her. They don't believe all those bumps are hers. Boing. That joke will put radio where Vaudeville is. We grew up together. I grew up and she grew sideways. No. Hey, well, Mr. Gallup, have you had enough?
Ladies and gentlemen, the preceding jokes just expressed by Mr. Berle are not necessarily his own.
Swap jokes with Berle. Let me repeat that.
Why, you unfunny amateur. With one joke, I can top everything you've said to me.
One joke you can say and I'll top it. Go ahead.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Are you listening?
I am on the beam.
Stand back. Oh. Here it comes.
Let's hear it.
What a blow for Princess Elizabeth.
Mr. Gallup, let me tell you, for 4 weeks, you've been telling that same line.
Berle, someday that joke will be bigger than Hugo. Hugo, you got the shoes on.
Well, it could be. And when it does, I hope I've got plenty of Airwick ready. But enough of this murder. Enough of this hilarious auditioning. Tonight, we take up elections and politics. So let us salute the cradle of American politics, Washington, D.C.
Washington, heart of the nation. Washington, home of the Supreme Court, the Senate, and eastern headquarters of Howard Hughes. Beautiful, picturesque Washington, cooled in the summer by the breezes of the Potomac, warmed in winter by the hot air from Congress. So come with me. Won't you? Won't you? Come with me on a sightseeing bus tour of our nation's capital. Ah, here comes a bus now. All right, let us board the bus, and we are off as the driver starts up the mighty motor. And here is our first stop, the House of Representatives. Ah, we're just in time to see a congressman pass a bill. Listen.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
That was Bill he just passed. And we continue on down famous Avenue K, named after Danny. And from here, we turn down Philadelphia Avenue, named after cream cheese. And we find ourselves on famous Pennsylvania Avenue, named after a poker. To our left is the president's home, the White House. We stop. Perhaps the first family is at home tonight. The window is open. Listen. They're home. We'll drop back later when they're not so busy. And boarding our sturdy little bus, we wait as our burly driver starts up the powerful engine. Well, here we are inside the famous United States Mint, named after a julep. The men employed here in the Mint go through the most thorough examinations for honesty, integrity, and complete faithfulness. Ah, here comes a trustworthy employee now. He beckons to us.
Pardon me, friend. Could I interest you in a brand new $5 bill for only $1?
$5 bill for only $1? How can you do it?
Confidentially, they're seconds. It's a clearance sale.
A clearance sale on $5 bills?
Yeah, we run off a bad batch. Lincoln's picture come out upside down.
Upside down?
Mm-hmm. The beard is now eyebrows. Lincoln looks like John L. Lewis.
And when we refuse to buy the fin, he gives us the fish eye. And we continue on our way down Hoover Boulevard, named after a vacuum cleaner. And here we are. Here we are at the White House again. Perhaps, if they're not busy, we can go in and visit. Still busy. We'll be back. We continue down Adams Street, named after a hat, as our faithful bus starts off with a roar. And here we are in front of the most famous of all landmarks, the Washington Monument. Towering majestically 200 feet in the sky, it reminds us of the day it was unveiled when a disappointed senator from New Jersey made that world-famous statement. He said,
Washington Monument doesn't look a bit like him.
You know, it doesn't. Let us hurry back to the White House. Look, the window is still open. And as the beautiful strains of the Missouri Waltz come floating out of the White House and the Secret Service men dance with each other on the front lawn, we reluctantly leave this merry group and say farewell to Washington. Farewell, Washington, D.C. D.C., named after an electric current.
Memphis, Tennessee, Buffalo, New York, Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon. Yes, from all over the country, there's news, big news. Listen.
From section after section, eminent nose and throat specialists report that the cigarette they suggest in cases of irritation due to smoking is Philip Morris.
Yes, these top-ranking nose and throat specialists actually suggest Philip Morris because they know Philip Morris is the one, the only leading cigarette proved definitely less irritating.
Remember, the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Thank you. That was Love Sweeping the Country, and the country sweeping it right back to the city. Played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, let me say, your music is always soothing, like frozen custard. It comes out smooth and leaves you cold. It comes out smooth and leaves you... All right. I could use three more fat jokes here. And now, as we continue... I wish I was going with Hope to England. And now, as we continue... As we continue, what a blow to Princess Elizabeth. As we continue our salute to the great game of politics, we present...
Political Forum tonight. Political Forum tonight. The question. Should we have a third party now or wait until New Year's Eve?
Yes, sir, there will be a slight pause for joke identification. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Now, let us commence with our forum and questions from the audience. Let's start with this gentleman in the aisle teaching his wife how to drive. Yes, sir?
Mr. Merrill, I'm from the Democratic Party.
Yes?
We feel you are the one to pull us to victory in 48.
I will pull you to victory. The Democrats want a new candidate.
The Democrats want a new donkey.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure I would prove an asset. But let us go on.
Oh, that's a honey. I love you, Merrill.
All right, this young man here in the monogram toupee. You standing on your knees? No. This young man, what is your name?
My name is Stanislaus Bublyantovich.
Stanislaus Bublyantovich?
That's just my business name.
I see. What's your real name?
The Smiling Irishman.
All right, Madman Munts. You have a question about politics?
Why, you running for president or something?
No, but we
Boy, in this country, anyone can be a candidate, even you.
No, look,
what do you got for your running mate, Lassie?
Now, wait a minute.
I wouldn't vote for you if you was running for garbage inspector.
But I don't know.
A vote for burlars, a vote for dirty subways, gambling, bookies, wide open burlesque houses, down with burlars.
I didn't
a
say...
A vote for burlars, a vote for depression, no chicken, not even a pot, down with burlars.
Please,
I... Ah, your father's ballot.
Please, let's not get excited. Let's not too much noise. Just laughs. Let's hear from the fairer sex. All right, this lady in the third row basting a chuck roast. What is your name, please?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that has to do with politics?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from hanging around City Hall? He's a waste pest and them pigeons.
Your husband hangs around City Hall?
Politicians give him jobs. For a while, he worked for the Board of Health. He was a restaurant inspector.
He was a restaurant inspector?
He used to go back in the kitchens and stick his foot in the mashed potatoes.
Mrs. Feeney, that's how he inspected mashed potatoes?
Yeah, if he didn't stub his toe on something, he okayed it.
That's terrible, sticking his foot in mashed potatoes.
He took his shoe off first.
Oh.
You think he is a slob or something?
No, no. No, well, that's different.
Once they gave him a job as a dog catcher. But it was too confusing for the other dog catcher.
It was confusing?
It was always catching him.
Wait a minute, they thought he was a dog? Why, that's terrible.
No, it was kind of cute. At night he used to come trotting home with a newspaper in his mouth.
Oh, that is cute.
They finally made him a cop.
He was a policeman,
huh? For 2 years he was on the force. You should see the way his feet flattened out.
They're bad?
It's terrible when he steps out of the shower and flaps those big flat feet down on the wet tile floor.
What happened?
I gotta come in and rock him a little to break the suction.
Mrs. Feeney, you have your troubles.
My worries are over. The city's taking care of him good now.
What is he doing?
Time.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you very much. Now, as a fitting conclusion to our political forum tonight, we are very privileged to present a true politician, none other than that two-fisted, hard-hitting, fighting senator from the West, Big Ed Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Featherfield. Senator Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. May I take this golden opportunity to thank my many constituents who, through rain or shine, have always been behind me and supported me where I needed it most.
Well, tell us, Senator.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down?
You want to sit down?
I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way over, I picked up a caterpillar off the sidewalk. I think I strained myself.
But a caterpillar isn't heavy.
This one had just eaten.
Oh. Well, Senator, tell me, how did you ever get into politics?
My wife insisted. She gave me a hand.
She gave you a hand?
Across the mouth.
Your wife helped you in your campaign?
Oh, yes. In the last election, she carried half of Dallas County.
She did?
Yeah, but they made her put it down.
Oh, I see. You're very fooling tonight, really. Your wife is a very big woman, eh?
Big?
Yeah.
Whenever it's roundup time in Texas, she comes home branded.
Branded?
Oh, what a bum steer I got.
Good, you're laughing at your own. Senator, you mean your wife mistreats you?
Well, now, don't get her wrong, Mr. Burrell.
No?
When she shellacked me last night, I had it coming.
You were bad again.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, Senator, what did you do?
Well, last night...
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't be telling.
Oh, go ahead.
Last night, I left the room while we had company.
You left the room? What's wrong with that?
You don't understand. I forgot to raise my hand.
Getting back to political campaign, Senator, when was the first time you ran?
The day after I got married.
What did you run for?
My life.
Thank you, Senator Featherfield. Thank you. Yes, sir. And here is our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing The Best Things in Life Are Free.
The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free. The moon belongs to the best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free.
Wonderful. Come on, take a bow. Dick Farney. Wonderful tonight.
better and better.
Gee, kid, you're getting to be a regular Lucy Monroe. Say, Mr. Gallup, our show is about elections tonight. Did you know that I once ran for public office?
How interesting.
You've been sitting out there with the audience?
Yes, it is interesting, isn't it?
It was just about a year ago.
What happened?
I would do, huh?
What happened?
What happened? What happened? Did you say what happened?
Burl, at this point, I'll say anything to try to save the show.
That's a nice try. Too bad you missed. Stand by for the giant jackpot. Anyway, here's what happened. It was about the election. It was just before the elections, and my wife and I were sitting home reading the evening newspapers.
Listen to this, Milton. It says Alderman Julius Blythe is running for re-election in our ward.
Now, darling, you know I don't pay any attention to politics.
Well, this year you will. You're in for a surprise.
Surprise? Wait a minute. I didn't like that laugh. The last time you laughed like that, your mother showed up to live with us. Now tell me, what's going on?
You'll find out. Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha, are coming over tonight to tell you about it.
Oh, no, not that cornball, Sam Harrison. That's Sam. Come in.
Hi, Milty. Buenas noches and noches to you. Tonight, so I said, let's go over and spring the big surprise on Milty. That's just what I said, isn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Martha. Sam, tell me, what's the big surprise?
Milty, you know I'm chairman of the League of Indignant Voters Against Alderman Glides. Martha is head of the Speaker's Bureau, aren't you, Martha?
Yes.
Sounds like it'll be a quiet campaign. Sam, tell me, what's the surprise?
Milty, this year we're putting up a candidate who is sure to beat Clyde.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Now, look, Sam, I don't want to be alderman.
Milton Berle, the 8th Ward is crying for you. You're the perfect candidate.
Sam.
There isn't a blemish on your character. Your home life is ideal.
Sam.
You're a magnificent speaker, a statesman.
Sam.
Milty, you're a born leader. You have tact, humility, graciousness.
Oh, Sam.
All the men voters, you're a man's man, a two-fisted fighter.
Sam.
All the women voters, you're handsome, suave, fascinating.
Oh, Sam.
You represent the glamour of show business, yet you have the common touch.
Oh, stop it, Sam. You're terrible.
Really?
Milton, you must run. Just think, I'll be the first lady of the 8th Ward.
Yes.
Your campaign is going great.
Sam, please, for 2 weeks I've done nothing but kiss babies. My face is full of holes. I keep forgetting to take the lollipops out of their mouths.
Milty, we got Glies on the run. That reminds me. Say, Martha?
Yes?
Doesn't Glies speak on the radio tonight?
Yes.
Let's listen to him just for laughs.
What can he possibly have to say? Turn it on.
And here is Alderman Glies.
Citizens! I wish to ask a wider question. Milton Berle, isn't it a fact that you are known in the underworld as Pipkin the Pooch? Wanted in 6 states for dope smuggling?
Pipkin the Pooch?
Laugh at him, Milty.
He must be drunk.
And further... more citizens. Remember my slogan. There ain't no flies on Julius Glies. Good night.
Oh, wait till I see those reporters. They'll be here any minute.
Reporters?
Yes.
Quick, let's get some of your campaign pictures hung up.
Here's the picture, Milton.
Oh, no, darling, not that picture. That's my high school graduation.
Well, it was the only one we could find where your tongue wasn't out.
Here, I'll get up on the chair. Hand me the picture.
Here.
Now, give me the hammer.
Here.
Oops, watch out!
Ow!
Oh, darling, I'm sorry. It slipped. Sam, do something.
What do you know? Hit it right on the head, didn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Do something. Oh, no, the reporters.
My head.
Martha and I'll bandage up your wife's head. Come along.
Take good care of her, will you, Sam? Oh, brother. Come in.
Pearl, are you Pipkin the Pooch?
Are you wanting for dope running?
Now, gentlemen, it is indeed laughable.
Where's your wife?
Well, they're putting a bandage on her head. She was hit by a hammer. Gentlemen, it is indeed laughable.
Who held the hammer?
Well, I did.
What a story.
Yeah.
Hold the presents!
Now, wait a minute. There was an accident. The hammer slipped. It is indeed laughable. It's laughable. It's laughable.
Citizens, I say and I repeat, any man who beats his wife over the head with a hammer is a fiend.
It slipped. What did I crawl into this time?
Oh, Milton, isn't it exciting? Look at my picture with my bandaged head in all the newspapers.
Yes, yeah, wonderful. Look what it says over the picture. Burl did this. Will you be next? This is awful.
Come in. Why, it's two men with long beards, Milton.
Beards?
Quick, let us in.
Who are you behind that beard?
It's me, Sam.
Oh, and this must be...
Yes.
Wait a minute. What's the idea?
We can't afford to be recognized as friends of yours.
Sam.
Quiet. The first returns must be in.
Here are the first returns for the race for Alderman. Julius Glies, 9,676. Milton Berle, alias Pipkin the Pooch, yeah. Three.
Three? My mother must have voted three times.
Berle, my organization is pulling out. We can't afford to be connected with a wife beater.
Wait a minute, Sam, where are you going?
To vote for Julius Glies.
Yes.
Where's the phone? Maybe I can resign or something.
Here are the latest returns. Glies, 66,465. Berle, two.
Who? Somebody took back their vote. Oh, this is... Darling, wait a minute. Where are you going with that suitcase?
Oh, home to mother. I refuse to live with a wife beater. Oh.
The hammer slipped. It slipped.
Attention. An unusual event has taken place in the race for Alderman. During the day, when the women were voting, Glies piled up a great lead.
Uh-huh.
But when the men came home from work and learned that Burr was a wife beater, they ran to the polls and voted solidly for him. The result... Glies, 75,000. Burl, 250,000. Burl is our new alderman.
I'm the alderman. It slipped. I'm an alderman. I have no friends, no home, no nothing. What I ought to do is shoot myself.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. I'll be back in just a minute. In the meantime...
Remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why.
First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos. Mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating.
Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
Thank you very much. This is your girlfriend, Milton, wishing Bob a bon voyage. Good night, everyone.
And counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and vote for Philip Morris. Vote for Philip Morris.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station, when Philip Morris will again present the Milton Berle Show. Until then...
Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation pipe tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show was written by Nat Hyken and Aaron Rubin. This is Frank Gallup saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.